No worries, though. No permanent damage, except for the coffee stains.
I have heard so much, Rhys. I am so sorry for the loss of your family. May God watch over them. To lose loved ones in wartime is one thing, but to have the peace of one's home shattered is another altogether. I have some experience there, if you recall.
I do. Thanks, Mo, Rhys said, feeling the gut-wrenching pain at the thought of his wife and little girl riddled with bullets on the floor of their home.
Why did you come to Istanbul? The way you put yourself directly in my sights, my guess is you came here to find me. I can help you, but if you are looking to hide, there are better places, my friend. The American intelligence services will find you here. You should not have come.
I'm not on the run anymore, Mo. The government made me a deal.
Why in the world would they do that?
Because they needed me to find you. Mo's calm and composed demeanor changed perceptibly. He shifted forward with a puzzled look on his face.
What do you mean by that? They know exactly how to find me.
Now it was Rhys's turn to look puzzled.
What are you talking about, Mo? You're running a terrorist cell for Amin Nawaz. You're a wanted man with a price on your head.
Rhys, you don't understand. I work for the CIA. Remember Jules Landry? He's been my handler for years.
Chapter 45. TomTom Suites, Istanbul, Turkey.
Rhys, where in the hell have you been? We lost track of you.
I'm safe, Freddy. He made contact. We need to talk. ASAP, Rhys responded. Rhys was back in his hotel room, personal possessions returned, and none the worse for wear.
Roger that. How do you want to do it?
I'm blown here, so it doesn't matter. I'll get cleaned up, grab my gear, and catch a ride back to the consulate. Meet you back there in an hour or so.
If you're blown, we'll just pick you up.
Check. Give me 15.
You got it.
Rhys changed and packed his bags. There was no sense staying at the hotel any longer. He was exposed here, and though he trusted Mo, he couldn't know whether someone in Mo's private army was playing both sides. An American intelligence officer would be a fat target to a jihadi looking to help the cause. The agency SUV was idling at the curb when Rhys walked through the hotel's front door, the anxious bellman trailing behind him. Rhys loaded his own bags and nodded to the confused employee as he handed him a 20 and climbed into the back seat. Freddy turned around in his seat with an extremely worried expression on his face.
You okay, buddy?
Well, I can't exactly claim to be a super spy. Mo's guys tased me and threw me into a van while I was sipping a latte.
That would never have happened to Mitch Rapp or Scott Harvath. Hey, man, I'm just a vanilla frogman. I think the Hartleys would disagree, if they were still around. You want to give me the download?
Let me have a minute to stew on it. I think I have an idea.
I don't know why that makes me nervous, Freddy replied with a shake of his head.
The case officer drove directly to the consulate, and within a half hour they were inside a secure conference room. Rhys began to go through the details of the meeting while Freddy scribbled notes on a yellow legal pad. Mo thinks he's still working for the agency. He admitted to coordinating the mortar attack on the British paras and taking out the NATO commander, but he swears he was following our orders.
Who gave him the orders?
You ready for this? Rhys paused for effect. Jules Landry. He's been handling Mo this entire time, first in Syria, then in Europe.
You're shitting me, Freddy said in disbelief.
Nope.
And you believe him?
He was genuinely shocked when I told him Landry had gone rogue. I could tell he felt betrayed. Remember, I've been in combat with Mo. We've trusted each other with our lives. I don't think he'd lie to me. Why would the CIA be running a pseudo-terrorist to hit our allies? That doesn't make any sense. I know, Rhys said. He's been thinking that Landry was running him against Nawaz, getting him close, having him gather intel, and that Landry gave him CIA-approved targets to hit in order to prove his worth to Nawaz. Kind of like how the DEA assets operate in the cartels. They pass information to their DEA handler, who lets the majority of drug shipments continue into the U.S. to not blow their assets cover as they continue to move up in the organization. Same thing here.
Jesus.
And think about where he comes from. Iraq. He grew up under Saddam Hussein, who did the unspeakable to keep his people living in fear and in line. He told me Landry was specific with him about hitting military targets. Mo actually thought the supporting effort was to keep our allies involved in the GWOT and ensure they had the public support to do so. He admitted to organizing the attack on the paras, and he took out General Alexander with the drone himself, just like the CIA taught him.
What about the Christmas attack in England?
Swears he had nothing to do with it. He said he'd only hit military targets, and again, I actually believe him. He knows that Nawaz has multiple independence cells, but doesn't know specifics. He was working his way up, but he wasn't there yet. That's why he believed that Landry was running him for the CIA. It's actually quite genius.
Yeah, but to what end?
There is something we're missing. Why would Landry go rogue and run a former STU commando inside ISIS in Europe? He's not employed by the CIA anymore. What's his endgame?
I don't know, Freddy.
Landry isn't bright enough to mastermind anything. He's not a thinker. Whatever he's doing, he's in it for the money or the rush.
I'll pass all that to CIA and have them keep digging on Landry. Past associates, bank accounts, aliases. We'll catch a break eventually.
Does Mo know where Nawaz is hiding?
He said he moves constantly, but that he can lead us to him.
Wait, he agreed just like that? Freddy asked dubiously.
Not exactly.
What do you mean, Reese?
He'll lead us to Nawaz, but only if we give him a shot at Landry.
A shot? Like to kill him?
I'm sure he'd like to, but he wants answers.
I would, too.
Okay, let me talk to the bosses, but even if they agree, we are going to have to bring Mo in. We don't have a choice, Reese. He's a terrorist, whether he was being run by a rogue CIA agent or not.
I have another idea. Just hear me out on this. You ever hear of the Celis Scouts?
The Rhodesian guys with the FALs and the Nuthugger shorts? Yeah, I've heard of them.
Did you spend too much time in Mozambique? What in the hell do they have to do with this?
Reese detailed his plan, and Freddy gave it the critical review that his position demanded. In the end, Reese was able to counter each of his friend's well-directed arguments. Now, it was a matter of selling it to the decision-makers back at Langley.
Chapter 46. Burgas, Bulgaria. September. Andrenov had arranged a French passport for Landry, which made sense given his heritage and reasonably good, though accented, command of the language. He couldn't pass for French in France, but he had no intention of going there. He didn't stay anywhere too long these days, but he needed to be within reasonable proximity of his asset, so southern Bulgaria was ideal. The Grand Hotel was nice, cheap, and right on the Black Sea coast. Landry spent most of his days working out in the hotel gym to maintain his bodybuilder's physique and to sweat out the sins of the previous evening. While most operators had adopted more functional fitness regimes over the past decade, Landry's vanity kept him focused on training individual muscle groups in isolation. Those workouts and a healthy supply of anabolic steroids kept him looking like a heavily tattooed version of a 1980s action movie hero. Too bad it was too cold to lie out by the pool. Landry loved the looks that the wives of the pot-bellied rich men gave him as he strolled the deck in nothing but a small swimsuit. He'd bedded more than a few when they went upstairs to freshen up while their husbands lazed drunkenly in their lawn chairs. There were no such treats available this evening, as it was the slow season. There wasn't much to do here but work out and drink in the clubs, but lately the booze hadn't been enough. The bartender had a source, and soon Landry was adding cocaine to the mix.
It took sleeping pills, Xanax, or opiates to come down from the blow in the early morning hours, sometimes all three, and marijuana to take the edge off when the new day came. Jules Landry had found himself in a cycle of stimulants, depressants, benzodiazepines, and sedatives catalyzed by excessive testosterone levels and a level of alcohol consumption that would have been a problem all by itself. He may have looked like an inked Adonis to the women on the pool deck, but inside he was a mess. The post-dinner hour found Landry drinking in the hotel bar. He'd done a bump of coke after a shower and was three vodkas deep, which meant he was at the peak of his chemically assisted relative normalcy. He'd done arms today and his biceps were pumped with blood. His black t-shirt clung tightly to them. He rolled his right wrist over and admired the vascularity of his forearm before doing the same on his left side. He looked good. He felt good. There was only one thing missing, and he was certain the bartender could arrange it. She arrived an hour later. She was cute. Hot, actually. She had long, straight, jet-black hair that hung down to her mid-back, a decent face, and a body that looked to be flawless. She reminded him a little bit of a girl back home. Her long legs looked great in tight black leather pants, and when she removed her faux fur coat, her glittery gold halter top rode up and exposed a six-pack of abdominal muscles. Her breasts were obviously enhanced, but she hadn't made the mistake of going too big with them. Yeah, she would do for sure. She spoke no French and only a little English. They weren't going to do much talking anyway.
"I am Darina,"
she said, extending her hand.
"Jules,"
he responded, amused by the formality of the introduction. The bartender brought her some type of vodka drink in a tall glass, and Landry reached out his hand with two pills in the palm.
"What is?"
she questioned.
"Ecstasy."
"What?"
"Ecstasy. You know, ecstasy?" Landry said as he feigned dance moves with his fists up.
"Ah, yes."
She took a tablet from Landry's hand and popped it onto her tongue, washing it down with her drink. Landry swallowed the other pill. By the time the MDMA kicked in, both had downed two more drinks, and Landry motioned to her to follow him upstairs. She asked for the money as soon as they entered the large suite, and Landry handed her a stack of 100-euro notes. Darina excused herself and disappeared into the bathroom to get herself ready. Jules made them each a drink from the bottle he'd brought from the bar and snorted a fat line of cocaine. He heard the toilet flush and then the click of the bathroom door opening. He pulled off his shirt and sat on the bed, holding his drink and waiting anxiously for what would come next. Darina walked seductively into the room, wearing only her black thong panties and high heels. Her body was even better than he thought it would be. He motioned to the nightstand where her drink sat next to several more lines of cocaine. She skipped the drink and went for the powder. She climbed onto the bed and straddled the muscle-bound man who owned her for the next few hours. Minutes later, they were both naked and he was doing another line of blow, this time off the small of her back. Landry was in heaven. Landry's head pounded. The sun was beating through the windows. He'd forgotten to close the curtains in all of last night's excitement.
"What time was it?"
He rolled over and pulled a second pillow over his head, trying to go back to sleep. His foot slid to the right and he felt something solid on the other side of the sheet.
"Is she still here?"
He took the pillow from his head and rolled over far enough to see a nude female lying face down, her head toward the footboard of the bed. Something about her didn't look right. Landry kicked her in the thigh in the hopes she would wake up, gather her things, and head out. Nothing. He kicked her again a little harder.
"Get the fuck out,"
he said, kicking her a bit harder with each word. Instead of responding, she slowly slid off the bed and slumped onto the floor. Landry squeezed his eyes together in an attempt to quiet his pounding head. He reached down and touched her arm. Her pale body was unnaturally cool. He rolled her over and brushed her tangled mess of dark hair out of the way, exposing a large bruise on her cheek. Her eyes were wide open and lifeless. A path of dried blood led from her nose to her upper lip. He leaned in closer and saw that she had swollen purple marks on her fragile throat. Instead of revulsion or horror, Landry looked at her in curiosity, trying to remember the events of the previous evening. He'd hit her, but it was just with an open hand. And he'd choked her, he recalled that. Her bulging eyes had filled with fear as he continued to fuck her. He liked that. Being inside a prostitute as he took her life. Luckily, shithole countries the world over were filled with young girls for him to punish. He was upset with himself, though, not that he'd killed an innocent woman, but that he couldn't remember how he'd killed her. He'd cheated himself out of that pleasure. Landry took a moment to admire what he could see of her breasts and abs, before leaning over the nightstand to do the last line of cocaine. Then he grabbed her under the arms and positioned her on the bed for one last dance with the devil. Chapter 47. CIA Station, Istanbul, Turkey, September. Freddie and Reese went over the pitch several times to ensure that they'd covered all the angles. Freddie knew the internal politics of the agency well enough to realize that their concept had a better chance of gaining approval coming from him rather than Reese. To many back at Langley, Reese was a murderous loose cannon whose only use was his relationship with Moe. This needed to be about the operation. Reese excused himself from the room when the time arrived for Freddie's video teleconference with his superiors back in Northern Virginia. Victor Rodriguez, a former Army Special Forces officer and current head of the Central Intelligence Agency's Special Operations Group, appeared on the screen, joined by the agency's Deputy Director of the National Clandestine Service, Janice Motley. The tailored blue suits worn by both Rodriguez and Motley and the frosted glass interior of the Langley skiff were in sharp contrast to the shaggy-haired and polo-clad SEAL in the Spartan conference room in Istanbul. At least he'd taken off his ball cap. Despite climbing the ranks at the agency, Rodriguez hadn't forgotten where he'd come from and could be counted on to watch the backs of his men in the field. Motley was an unknown quantity among the spies and trigger pullers whom she oversaw in her new role. Her background as the lead staff attorney for the Senate Intelligence Committee didn't exactly fill the operatives with hope when it came to a review of paramilitary work.
Mr. Strain, good to hear from you. Nice work in...
Redacted, Rodriguez began.
Let me introduce you to Deputy Director Janice Motley.
Pleasure to meet you, ma'am.
I appreciate both of you making time on such short notice.
We have some extremely time-sensitive intel that needs attention, Freddie said, putting on his most charming smile as he transitioned from covert operator to salesman.
"Please go on, Mr. Strain."
Motley clearly wasn't in the mood for pleasantries.
"Yes, ma'am. As you both know, we successfully recruited James Reese and brought him in to attempt to make contact with Mohammed Farouk, a former Iraqi Special Operations Commander who worked with Commander Reese back during OIF."
"We are well aware of that, Mr. Strain, and you should know that decision was made over my objection," Motley added.
"Understood, ma'am. Earlier today, James Reese made contact with Farouk, who acknowledged his role in planning the attacks on the Colchester garrison in England and the assassination of General Alexander in Brussels. He denied any role in the Christmas attack in Kingston, but did say that Amin Nawaz operates multiple independent cells that do not have